Amen. I turned the heat on this morning. It's like, hasn't been on for a while because you can, like, everyone's like, if you have your Bibles today, go ahead and open up and we're going to start, well, two different places, but you can go ahead and open up to John 6 first. Goodness. John 6. And then Proverbs 3. We're starting a new series today, and I'm very excited about it. And the title is, Do You Trust Me? And so often when we hear that question, do you trust me, all of a sudden the walls go up. Wait a minute, they're going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. Do you trust me? And there's a verse in Proverbs 3. We're going to start there this morning, but keep your finger in John 6. And it's a very familiar scripture, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And a little while ago, I was thinking on this verse, and I was dwelling on it. The Lord gave me the greatest picture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. This is a great analogy. Now watch. Have any of you ever tried to walk straight when you're leaned over? Have you ever tried to do that before? It's really uncomfortable, for one thing, but it's really hard to keep your balance for another because you're not straight up and down the way the Lord intended you to be. You're leaning. And so everything becomes a little bit more difficult. You definitely couldn't run this way, right? I mean, you have to walk at least, because running this way would really actually be really painful, I'm thinking, on your back if you're leaned, right? That's why he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean. If you're in your life and you're feeling uncomfortable and things are not working out the way they should and you're having a hard time just walking with him, maybe you need to look in the mirror and check your position. Maybe you're leaning on your own understanding instead of trusting him with all your heart. And today I feel like the Lord wanted us to start a new series, Do You Trust Me? And you know me, acronyms are everything, right? Sorry, it's my dad's fault. He always had an acronym for everything growing up. Trust. And today we're going to look at the very first thing. Oh, you know what? John 6 is my kid's lesson. Okay, let's go to the right one in Genesis. That's the problem when you're going to be speaking on two different things, is keeping your lessons. I just popped that right out there. Well, at least we know what I'm going to be teaching the kids today, right? We're going to Genesis 12. Sorry, everyone. Well, maybe some of you need to go read that one too, right? Yeah, there you go. At least you know. Your kids are going to be learning about John 6 today. We are in Genesis 12. And the first part of trust is to take the first step. Say, take the first step. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about kids. Do you trust me? And I love these two pictures. The first one on top is a picture of a little girl on her couch, and she is just free falling. To who? Her dad. She's free falling for her dad. You don't see exactly her face, is kind of hard in this little picture, but when you zoom in on it, she is smiling, almost laughter. There's no fear, there's no worry, there's no issues of trust. It's just, I know my dad's gonna catch me. I know that. But her dad can't catch her unless she first takes a step, right? Because when you catch someone, that is a secondary action to someone else doing something else, right? So you say, oh, I trust the Lord, I trust the Lord, but you are just standing on that couch. I trust him, I trust him. But you're not like this little girl where you're willing to let everything go and free fall and know he's going to be there. Do you trust him? Do you trust me? Take the first step. And then the second picture on the bottom, well, you can't see if you lower the picture, but I just couldn't fit it all on the page, was they're like on the top of a mountain. And this little boy is jumping from one rock to another rock. The only thing that's there is his dad. And we see, what's his dad doing? Reaching out. What is he doing? Taking the first step. And so often, this is where we get snagged, is that first step. Let's look at Genesis 12. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a conversation with the Lord like this, right? God's just going to pour out on him. Not only is he going to be blessed, he's saying, I'm going to bless the world through you. But what was his very first command to him? Go. Yeah. Trust. Do you trust me? You have to take the first step. All these amazing promises that we see that the Lord has here for Abraham, or Abram at the time, nothing ever would have been done if he'd have stayed right where he was. Because the command was to go. In verse 4, it says, so Abraham went as the Lord told him. And you can read on and you see, what does the Lord do? He is faithful to every promise that he gives Abram right here in this chapter. Because Abraham trusted the Lord and took that first step. Now you may be sitting there today going, what in the world does this have to do with my money? You know what the first step is in trusting God with your finances, your tithes, and your offerings? And sometimes, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are all great, but sometimes we get snagged on little things. We get snagged on little things. We're like, okay, Lord, you know, our income comes in and we tithe off of that. I would encourage you this morning on EMIC, Pastor George is doing a great series on trusting the Lord in your tithes and offerings. Amazing, not trusting, on giving your tithes and offerings and why it's important. And one of the things that he talks about is that when you're questioning, do I tithe on this? Do I really need to tithe on this? Do I need to? And he's like, that should be your first clue. Yeah, you need to tithe on this. If you're just asking yourself that question, there's a battle inside you. And it's this, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Well, it was a birthday gift. It was something that someone gave me. Do you trust me? He's asking for 10% of our income, whatever it is that comes in. That's an act of trust. When you take your tithes and offerings and you say, Lord, I trust you. Even if it means that what I'm giving you would be the amount that I need to finish paying my bills. I trust you. Even if this amount that I'm giving stretches me beyond anything I've ever been stretched, I trust you. Because you see, this 10%, it's only going to last so long. And what do we learn from the Shunammite woman? God takes that and he goes, boom. And it explodes in our life. So there are times that even as a church, I sit down to do our bills and I go, God, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But I've told you before, I'm so glad he doesn't deal with cents. I'm so glad he deals in dollars and in hundreds and in thousands. And he takes the things that we can't add. You can't add sometimes. You can't add it. Well, you can try, but then you look at this and you look at this and you're like, this doesn't make any sense to me, God. And he says, I know. Because he is amazing. He is a miracle worker. And when you will get the attitude of these two kids and take that first step in your finances and trust him and give your tithes and your offerings, guess what? He's not going to back off and let you fall down. He's not going to go, oh, well, I changed my mind. I'm not going to grab you when you jump. No. He's going to be those loving arms that catch you, that are there for you, that are going to provide for you. He's going to be that hand that reaches out when you jump and you feel like, oh man, what in the world did I do? All of a sudden, he'll be that firm hand going, we got this. We got this. Your dad this morning, your heavenly dad, is not going to let you down. Let me say that again. Your heavenly dad this morning is not going to let you down. Let me say it again. Your heavenly dad this morning is not going to let you down. And you may say, well, I tried it once. It's not about trying it once. This is not a try it to see if it works. This is a lifestyle you choose to do because he is faithful. And if you will be faithful with your tithes and offering, do you trust me? Absolutely. I can say that without a shadow of a doubt. I trust the Lord with all my heart, especially in my finances. Some people, that might be a challenge. For me, it's not. I've been where there's been lack. I've been where there's been shortage. I've been where I was had that little voice in my head that said, oh, you need that this month. And I yelled back, no, I don't. I need more than this. And I can trust my God to provide exceedingly and abundantly above. I can remember the days where I dreamed of spending $100 on my family's groceries. I dreamed about it. What would it be like? I am living plus that dream now. I am living plus that dream now. Let me say it again. I am living plus that dream now. Wherever you are today, do you trust him? Can I tell you something from experience? You can. You can trust him today. You can trust him with your tithes and your offerings. And you know what else you can trust him with? The 90. What you get to keep. You can trust him with that. You can trust him that when the enemy tries to come in and steal, kill, and destroy, he'll bring life and life more abundant. Because he is a good dad this morning. Close your eyes. Father, I just pray for every person that's here today. Every person that is asking the question, do I trust him? Do I really trust him with everything? And Father, we know that your word says that money is the root of all evil. And that sneaks in when we come to that place where we go, no, I don't think I trust you. Then money has become our God. Money has become number one. And I pray for every person in this room today that they would see themselves maybe as the little girl on the couch. It's not a very big leap. It's not a very big fall, but it's taken a lot just to get to that point. I pray, Father, that you would give each person in this room, Father, the amount of courage that it takes to lean forward and to trust that you'll be there, to give their tithes and their offering. And then maybe there's some in this room who have given their tithes and their offerings their whole life, but God, you're calling them to even a deeper walk with you. You're speaking to their heart and you're whispering things and they're like, oh, wow, I'm standing on this rock here and you're over there and we're on the top of a mountain. Oh, wow. Let them be like this little boy, with faith that if I jump, my Heavenly Father is going to be there to meet me. And God, I just thank you that as we sow and we give, you said we cannot give you. That your desire is to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or imagine. And I can imagine some pretty amazing things, God. And yet you want to go even beyond that. Help us to take the first step, Father. And give our tithes and offering. Help us to be obedient like Abram was. So many things you have in store for us, God. And yet we have to obey your command to give. And I just pray today, Father, for every seed that is sown, that you would bless it 100-fold harvest. Help us to learn to trust you in this series that we're doing. Help us to see, Father, that we can take that first step and that you'll be right there to catch us. We praise you for your faithfulness to your word today. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our church's finances, for what you're doing in our individual finances. We praise you, Father. Let us not hold back the testimonies that we can give to our friends and loved ones of what you can do when you trust the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless this message today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us and interpreting these words to us, Lord, and showing us what to apply, where to apply it, Lord God. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, this is the concluding message to, I'll switch the slide, 9 fruits and 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit? Amen. There are a lot of people out there that don't even believe there is a Holy Spirit. Amen. But somebody say, if the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, then there is a Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a God the Father, a God the Son, and a God the Holy Spirit. 3 in 1. Amen. And we need to be open to the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of love, the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of Jesus. When people say, Jesus is in my heart, what they're really saying, according to the Word of God, is the Spirit of God is in your heart. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the one who came. Jesus sent him to be with you. Jesus, the Word of God tells us where he is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his people. Amen? And so, but he sent you the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, he sent me the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes. Amen? When somebody gets born again, they receive the Holy Spirit. But there's also something else that's available to believers who will receive is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's where you get filled and you see, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. You can actually turn there in your Bibles, but we'll see, you know, how that happens. Amen. How do we receive anything from God? Somebody say, by faith, right? How did you get born again? You believed, right? You came to God. You said, Lord, I confess to you that I have sinned, that I have fallen short of your glory, and I receive the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrifice on the cross for my sins. I give you my life. You use your faith to do that, right? God didn't make that decision for you. You did. Amen? And there's a lot of Christians that just want to believe that God is not really interested in your faith because he's sovereign and he makes all the decisions. Well, that doesn't even make sense biblically, right? You got saved because you chose to get saved. God didn't choose you to get saved. You chose you to get saved, right? Amen? You brought yourself to him. He brought Jesus to you. And you brought yourself to Jesus. And that's the glorious truth of it all. That's part of, I believe, what makes hell hell to people when once they're there. They don't have to go there. But it was so easy. All I had to do was bring myself to Jesus, but I just wouldn't do it. And I believe in hell there are people that remember for eternity every chance they had to make Jesus Lord of their life, and they refused to do it. Refused to do it. Refused again to do it. Amen? How many people today, they know good and well it's Sunday morning. I should be in church. But they aren't, right? Amen. And you are. So just give yourself a good way to go, right? Now, we're not here to give ourselves brownie points. But how many people today know that Sunday morning was another time I said no to Jesus? Amen. Now, granted, going to church doesn't make you saved even more than standing in a garage would make you a car. Right? You gotta choose to serve Jesus, right? But our faith is involved. And being in church is an evidence of your faith that you're a believer. Amen? That you love Jesus and you want to, you know, birds of a feather flock together. Amen? So Christians, that's where Christians hang out, at church. To be like Jesus, to love each other, to worship God together. Read through the Psalms. I mean, King David And, you know, churches, praise God for the ladies, but church is a man thing too, man, right? There's men of God in this room. Praise the Lord. Because if you look at King David was a man's man. And there was one day he came dancing and celebrating and praising into the city, bringing in the ark of God. And he talks all through the Psalms about wanting to get into the house of the Lord so I can lead the troop in praises, right? Amen. And his wife one day told him, hey, what are you doing? You look silly out there praising God like that. You're the king. Act like the king. And David tells his wife, woman, I'll paraphrase, right? You think I look silly now? Just wait till tomorrow, because I'm just going to get more and more. I'm going to get more and more into this Jesus. I'm going to get more and more in love with God as time goes on. Just you wait till tomorrow. Amen? And there's a lot of folks out there that are like that with their sin, right? That you think things are ugly now, just wait till tomorrow. I'm going to find me a new way to sin and go deeper with it, right? That's why things like legalizing marijuana and legalizing gambling is not just a little thing, right? Because people just, if you give them a license, you give the devil an inch, he's going to want a mile. Amen? And things like marijuana is really a gateway drug to heroin, to cocaine, right? All these things. So that's why Christians got to show up at the polls. And next Sunday, I may be bringing a message entitled Faith for Our Nation, where we walk through and look at what the Bible says about why we vote for certain things and why it's important for the church to show up at the polls and make a difference in what our nation does and who our nation is. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we come to Jesus. We get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we are to be more and more. Somebody say, I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. Right. From glory to glory, from faith to faith, here a little, there a little. And I don't know about you, but the enemy's been on me a lot lately, reminding me of everywhere I'm missing it. Steve, your nails are dirty. There's a booger hanging out of your nose. You should have stayed in college five or 10, 15 more years. You don't got enough money in the bank. Right? And he'll just get on you about stuff. What is he? He's the accuser, the accuser, the accuser, the accuser. So what do you do with that? You stop listening to it. You turn it off, right? And we keep ourselves in love with Jesus. And that may be a very good reason why many people aren't in church this morning, not just here, but around the world, because the enemy keeps pointing out, you don't fit in there. You don't fit in there. Church ain't for you. You go there, that place will burn down. I've heard that said word for word before. Steve, if I ever showed up at church, the place would burn down. Well, that's what the devil told you, right? Really, what's going to happen is you're going to get filled with a new fire if you come to church, right? Amen? Put the fire of sin out and get full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. And that's why, somebody say, that's why we come to church, right? To be more like Jesus, to worship him, to learn what the Word of God has to say, to be around other believers. Amen? Our foundation text is Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love that. Somebody say, I want to be filled by God, right? If somebody's filling me up, I don't want to be filled up by what my television is telling me or what the circumstances are telling me or what the medical field tells me, right? Praise God for good doctors and so forth, right? But I don't want to be filled with what the world says. I want to be filled with what the Word says. And this morning, the boys and I were unloading the car, and there's a pair of jumper cables in the back of one of our cars, and we were talking about, we were kind of laughing about, man, sometimes we need to jump our faith, and we talked about bringing the jumper cables and hooking one side to the Bible and the other side to your heart, and I believe. And the more I thought about it, there's an illustration there with jumper cables. You got the plus and you got the minus. You got the positive charge and you got the negative charge, right? And I got to thinking about how a lot of Christians believe that you have to have an equal amount of negative and positive in your life That's God. He's going to dump a lot of negative on you, and he's going to dump a lot of positive on you. That's the Christian life. Lies. That's a lie. Somebody say God is the God of blessing. He's the God of health and healing, right? He's the God of joy, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good and bad. No. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Good, right? He's not the yin and the yang. No, he is nothing but good. And even the plus sign, the positive sign, happens to be in the shape of a cross. And it's red like the blood, right? So it reminds me, Jesus took all the negative on himself so I can be open to the blessings of God in my life. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. Amen. And so, and the gospel means good news, doesn't it? You look it up and it means good news. It's bad news to the devil. It's bad news to the guy that opened a weed store today. It's bad news to, the adult businesses around town. Why? Because they're on the negative team. All they got to do is change teams. Amen. And it's not too late until the last breath is drawn. After then, too late. Because God does not accept American Express. When you get to the gates, it's too late, right? You're either in or you're out. There's no in between. Amen. Is that what the Word of God says, right? After this life, to live is to die is once, to die is gain if you're a believer. After death, if you're not born again, there is one stop for you. Not for you, but for the person that's not born again. There's a place called hell that was built and designed for Satan, but people go there by choice. Amen? Because if they don't choose Jesus Christ, if they don't give themselves over to him, then their sin debt has not been paid for. Amen. Even though Jesus paid the price of all sin in general, sin, every sin that's ever been committed. Amen. See, there's this thing like in the political world right now talking about borders. Open the borders. There should be no borders. Guess what? Heaven has borders. Not everybody's in there. Not everybody's welcome. Amen. Right? If somebody's born again, heaven's your home. Somebody's not born again, hell is their home. That's just the truth, right? And God didn't make that choice. Why would a God who is so good and loving send somebody to hell? He didn't. He made the way out. He made the way. Somebody say, he made the way out. That's how good he is, right? People send themselves there by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by adultery, not by drugs, not by witchcraft, not by murder, not by stealing. By one thing. Somebody say one thing. Rejecting Jesus equals going to hell. And one thing will get you to heaven. Except not because you didn't commit adultery, you didn't steal, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't cuss and chew, go out with those who do, so I'm going to heaven. Nonsense. Somebody say nonsense. You're going to heaven for one reason. Because you were smart enough. Not with head knowledge, with heart knowledge, right? See, a lot of people try to learn the Word of God according to their head. Right? But it's got to get in your heart. It's got to get into your heart. With the heart, you believe. Now, you don't check out your brain. To your brain, it makes sense. Hell, bad. Heaven, good. But your heart has to be where you believe, right? So one way in and one way out. Jesus said, I am the door. What is a door? A border. Amen? Somebody say, Jesus is Lord of my life. Amen? Well, that was all this bonus preaching right there. Hallelujah. And Shelly tells me I need to preach a little faster because the kids start being ready to leave class. So I've got to step my game up here. Amen? Praise the Lord. But Acts 1:8 says this, but you shall receive power. Who shall receive power? You. Yeah, say me, right? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So just walk around your house saying, welcome, Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the gifts of the Spirit, which is what we're talking about, receiving and activating the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And again, you can go back to our website, redeemed-church.org, and go through the whole series if you want to on there. right? But 1 Corinthians 12, 4, and 7 through 10, or you can request a CD because we do have the ability to burn CDs as well. So, but there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Praise God. And again, all these gifts come from the same source, the same tree, the same Holy Spirit. Amen? And there are people in the body of Christ that excel at different gifts that are gifted in certain areas, that are miracles or faith or, you know, spiritual gifts, but they're all available to the body of Christ in general because they're from the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, He brought those gifts. So in any one church service, one person could receive wisdom. Another person might have got faith. Another person might have got some interpretation of something going on in their life or got filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. Another person, you know, might have got some sort of a healing, received some sort of a prophetic word just by being in the atmosphere. What are you doing? You're that's a great reason to come to church too, because you're getting in the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost where the power of God is moving, right? And I don't know about you, but I could use some moving around things around in my life. There are things I'm believing God to help me with, right? And that's a great reason to be in the house of God, the household of faith, right? But today we're going to look at the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And if you noticed, that happens here almost every week. It happened this morning when we came out of worship and we started praying in the Spirit, and immediately the word came to me, Jesus saying, come to me. Right? I was praying in tongues, you were praying in tongues, and immediately the thought came to me up in my spirit, Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. That was called tongues and interpretation. Amen? Praise God. So the Holy Ghost, that doesn't mean you understand with your head what you're praying in the Spirit. How many, if you try to understand in your head what you're praying in tongues, you're missing the boat completely. Right? Amen? I remember Jesse DePlanis talking about when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that people would tell him, he was frustrated with this. I don't get this. This doesn't make any sense, right? He would say people would lay hands on him, and he just telling stories of people just telling him things to say. He said one guy told him, he said, just get up there and say something like, my mama drives a Honda or something like that. And say it really fast. And then they'll believe you. And they'll leave you alone. Mama drives a Honda, right? Well, that's ridiculous, right? We're talking about a spiritual language the Holy Ghost will give you. And I was listening to Pastor Terry Pearson's teaching on this, and she was talking about looking for the words in your spirit. And I remember when I first received, my mom actually prayed for me in at the house when I was a teenager. And the first phrase that came to my spirit was tequila. I had never heard of tequila. I don't know what tequila, but I think guys who are drinking tequila start feeling drunk and all this kind of stuff. Why does that phrase tequila came? So I started saying tequila, tequila, tequila. And then before long, the more of the language began to grow and the Holy Ghost, you just start praying it out, right? But He might just give you one phrase in your spirit to start, like a little kid. Mama, dada, mama, dada, mama, dada, Uncle Joe, Aunt Susie. Right? Chocolate, cookies. Well, same way in the Holy Ghost. When He gives you a phrase to start saying in your spirit, it's not going to make not in English, right? And you begin to speak that out. You're saying, Lord, I receive your Holy Ghost. Now, it's important to do this after you're saved, because if you ask for the Spirit of God and you're not born again, you might receive any old spirit, which is not what you want. Amen? But once you're born again, you'll receive the Holy Ghost. He's for you. Amen? Anyway, the word tongues, I like this concordance translation or definition. It means a language, right? And I like this definition, one naturally unacquired. Amen, right? So we're talking about a supernatural prayer language for you and God, you and God, you and the Lord. Amen? A heavenly prayer language, something that's not learned. You don't go to college to learn how to pray in tongues. There's not a Google app, a tongues app. There's not a tongues interpretation app. Shandalababala interpretation. The name is, what you said, thus saith the Lord. There's no such app, all right? The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Amen? And he's communing with your spirit. Hallelujah. So you, how do you receive this? The same way you got saved. You receive the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost by faith. By faith. Amen? And the word interpretation means to understand, to bring out the meaning of. Now, there's a lot of times where I pray in the Spirit, and I just pray in the Spirit. I'm not looking for necessarily an interpretation. I'm just worshiping God. Amen? The devil doesn't know what I'm praying. I don't really know what I'm praying. I'm just praying in tongues. But we need to watch where we don't get mechanical with it, like just machine gunning our tongues. And, you know, we need to engage, press in. It's okay to ask the Lord for an interpreter, especially when you're praying about something. You know you're praying about something. There's something going on in your life that is over your head. Amen. That's where you get into your spirit. If it's over your head, get into your spirit. Amen. And pray in the spirit. That's praying in tongues. And ask the Lord for revelation knowledge. And sometimes you'll be, a lot of times, when you're open to it, you'll be praying in tongues and things will come to your heart, to your spirit. What is that? It's likely an interpretation of what you're praying. Amen? If you check it in the Word, right? It confirms something in your spirit, you're getting an interpretation of what you're praying. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'll even start praying and you'll be praying in tongues and English words will start coming out without even really thinking about it. That's an interpretation right there. Amen? That's a good example of what we were doing earlier today. Praying it out and the words come to me. Started coming, right? Jesus, come to Jesus. Amen? So we're talking about a language that is not naturally acquired, a language naturally unacquired. In other words, you're acquiring this from the Holy Ghost. It's for you. Somebody say it's for me. Amen. Now, Acts 2, and this is where we see it in the Word, right? And there's a number of places, but we'll just look at a few, all right? Acts chapter 2. It's important to see where things are in the Bible. We don't just believe everything we're taught. We need to go find it in the Word, right? Well, tongues is in the Word of God. Here we go. When the day of Pentecost, verses 1 through 4 in Acts chapter 2, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Somebody say they were all filled, right? With the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's key right there. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? So this is from the Holy Spirit. This is a gift to you from the Holy Spirit. Now, you do have to use your mouth. You do have to use your voice. The Holy Spirit is not going to turn you into a robot. I've had people kind of insinuate that to me before. Well, I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to do it. Well, he did it. He's there. But you have to listen in your spirit for a phrase, a word, and speak it out. And the enemy will instantly tell you, that's foolishness. You don't have nothing. You're just making that up. Well, guess what? It is me saying it, but I'm saying it under the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to just keep saying this. And if I miss it, not if, but when I miss it with things with God, he'll guide me and correct me. But it's easier for God to guide a moving vessel, right? Isn't it easier to steer a car that's moving? So what are you doing? You're doing something. You're acting on this. Somebody say, I have to make the choice to use my voice. I remember in Chiller's ministry, I'd never seen anything like this with New Beginnings when I started coming there and getting involved in the Chiller's ministry. And Pastor Scott would lead kids in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and some of them would just boom, instantly. Other ones would try to understand it, and adults are the same way. But I remember Pastor Scott looking at little Jimmy in the eyeball. Jimmy, look, it's me, Pastor Scott. Hi. Do you want to pray in tongues? Yes. Yes, I do. Then do it. Start using your voice, Jimmy. And he would start doing it, right? Amen. So the Holy Ghost is for everybody. But I have to use my voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I have a part to play. In other words, it's not the Holy Ghost, just you're not going into a trance like all these goofy Halloween movies that are out right now and some spirit takes over. No, that's Hollywood. That's lies. That's make-believe, right? Well, I don't want to act. I don't want to fake it. You're not faking it. You're faithing it. You're faithing it, right? Amen. And if you're off somewhere, that God will correct you. He will, because he's a good, good father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Acts chapter 10. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 10. Praise Jesus. It's just a few pages to the right. Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 46. And I heard a minister say once that Acts shouldn't be referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. It should be referred to as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is getting some work done in the Word, right? And he'll get some work done in us. But of course, the apostles were definitely involved, right? They had to obey and do what the Holy Ghost was asking them to do. But Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and bad. No, went about doing good, right? And healing all, somebody say all, right? Who were oppressed of the devil. Well, Pastor Steve, I remember a lot of cases where people couldn't get healed when they came to, well, everybody who came to him in faith, he healed. They got healed. Amen. People who disrespected him. Now see, there's a problem in the body of Christ with people that just don't value the word. They disrespect it. They don't value the word of God. And so they have limited success in their lives. But somebody say, not me. I'm somebody who values what God is doing, right? I value Jesus. I value him, highly value him, right? He healed all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. In verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Hallelujah. That's the power of the gospel right there. Amen. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, somebody say through his name, right? Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Praise God means forgiveness. Praise God for that, right? While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Praise the Lord. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. Somebody say poured out. On the Gentiles also. See, they were in the mindset of thinking that the gospel was just for the Jew at that point. When they saw that these are Gentiles, not Jewish people, that they had received Jesus and the Holy Ghost is being poured out on them, right? Well, what was the evidence that they saw? Well, let's read on, right? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost got poured out. These people gave their lives to Jesus, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. But the word poured out, I like that. It means to gush, to run, like running over, right? To spill, right? So the Holy Ghost will gush out from on the inside of you. Once you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, he's on the inside of you now. You're not looking for something out here, right? Amen. We used to do our illustrated sermon, Bloodbought, and we'd go out and witness to people on the streets and encourage them to come and get born again. I remember one guy getting in my face and going, "Well, if Jesus is going to be there, I'll be there." Is he going to be there? It's like when people aren't born again, they're looking for this external sign. And people get goofy about external things, things they see in the outside. And the Bible does say that the heavens will declare and there'll be signs in the heavens. But guess what? If you're a believer, the one that you're looking for is on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost, you don't have to look farther than a miracle than under your nose, because he's on the inside of you. So when it says poured out, gushing out, running over, spilling out, the Holy Ghost is available to literally bubble up on the inside of you through praying in tongues and worshiping. And every situation, every issue, every negative thing the devil's trying to do in your life doesn't stand a chance. I think of the scripture that says when the enemy comes in, because not if, when he comes at you, like a flood, somebody say, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up. What is that? Who is that? Not what, it's who. That's the Holy Ghost coming up out of the inside of you to change a situation. Amen. That's why we don't agree with circumstances that are adverse to the Word of God. Because the Word of God will change the facts. The truth will change the facts. Amen. That's good news, right? But John 7:38 in the Amplified Bible says it this way. He who believes in me, Jesus is speaking, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me. See, it's not enough to just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means I cleave to him. And like Shelley was saying, I trust in him. And I love the pictures that she picked of the kids leaping into the arms of their father. And one thing I noticed in those pictures is that the point where those pictures were taken, that kid had already made this thing called a commitment. Airborne. The kid jumping from one rock to another, there was no turning back. Amen? And as believers, we have to get to that place where, you know what, there's no turning back. I'm fully committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So, he who believes in me cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me. I rely on him. Amen? As the scripture has said, from his innermost being, or her, right, shall flow, somebody say flow, right, continuously springs and rivers of living water. That's the Holy Ghost, the words of God coming out of the inside of you, praying in tongues, speaking his word, bubbling up on the inside of you, bubbling up on the inside of you. But see, the enemy tries to use things from the outside to get to you. Something somebody said, a thought coming against your head. That's why the Bible talks about the armor of God we should be applying, right? The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness. I think it's Ephesians 6 you can look at. Amen. Why? Because we are in this thing called a war, right? And the enemy is out to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, and so he has not a shot. He has not a shot unless he can talk me out of my blessing. Amen? Somebody say, the devil's not talking me out of nothing. Right? Why? Because I am fully committed. I am fully committed. I rely on Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, we got to move here. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says this. And in that day, somebody say, this is that day. Right? And in that day, you will say, O Lord, I praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Right? The sin problem has been dealt with. It's been forgiven. It's been washed away. You just come to Jesus, repent, give your heart over to him. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost, who is also known as the Comforter, comforting doesn't mean he won't have to correct me. His correction is for my comfort. Amen? Ever heard the story about the guy that the cat was really irritated with his owner because he was petting him backwards because his fur was going the wrong way? And the solution was, cat, you need to turn around. And then it feels right. Amen. So his correction is for my comfort too. Amen. Sometimes I have to turn myself around. Do the hokey pokey and turn myself around because that's what it's all about. Amen. Come to Jesus. And then verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah the Lord is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Here we go. Verse 3, therefore, with joy, somebody say with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That's what you're doing. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you are dropping into your spirit and drawing water from the well inside of you, the well of God. Dropping into your spirit, somebody say, get out of your head. Get out of your head, get out of your head, get out of your head. Get out of your head and drop into the well. Drop into the well and draw waters out from the well of salvation in your spirit. Amen? That's what you're doing when you're praying in tongues. Shote ke la vere. What am I doing? Dropping into my spirit. Dropping into the spirit and drawing out like a bucket. You're using your tongue is like the bucket that's dropping down into the well and bringing back out the answer that you need. Don't you know there are a lot of times you don't know the answer you need? Amen? That's why you pray in tongues. Hallelujah. And then what are you doing with interpretation? You're listening for the understanding. The word interpretation means to understand, to bring out the meaning of. So if you need to know the meaning, or at least a smidgen of the meaning, you'll know it. God will show you. God will show you. Amen? We were, one of the greatest examples of all time in my life to this point was when my daughter Lacey was born. Right? She was born premature and came out of the womb not breathing for 10 minutes. They were doing CPR, all the life-saving measures that I had just gone through a class in children's ministry and knew what they were doing, our first kid, and you're just kind of in shock. We're exhausted, right? Amen. But there were born-again Christians in that room working on her, and our nurse included. And our nurse came over and said, you guys need to pray right now, right? And we just started praying in tongues. Because what are you going to say, right? Help! Help, Jesus. No, he'll answer that prayer, right? But we had a well inside of us, right? And we started praying in tongues together, right in the middle of that death looking at you in the face, right? And we're praying in tongues, and instantly, right, we knew something came to our heads in the middle of that. See, it went from our heart to our head. Why? So it can come out your mouth, right? Something our pastor had been teaching about, that Jesus, the Lord God, is the breath of life. Our pastor had been teaching about God as the breath of life. That came to our minds out of our praying in tongues instantly. And so we started saying, in Jesus' name, we bind death and we loose, because she couldn't breathe. How many know it's important to breathe to live? And so we started saying, in Jesus' name, we bind death and we loosen life. And we kept praying because it kept going. How many know you don't just stop praying if something doesn't change? You keep on it. You keep on it, right? And more started coming up. The Lord spoke to me, said, name her. Give her a name. Still feel the emotion of that moment. But God was there. And we named her Lacey, cheerful joy, Lacey Joy. And somebody hollered over at the table and they said, she's biting my finger. She's biting my finger. And boy, I'll tell you, if that doesn't describe her determination, she is not going to drop it. She's going to stick with it, tenacity, toughness. And she fought through, and we fought through. And she's a senior, you know her. She's a senior in high school. She's, you know, humiliated at the thought of ever getting a B. Brilliant, beautiful, just loves God. But I'll tell you what, that's a great example from my own life of how tongues and interpretation, literally life and death. So when somebody wants to mock tongues or act like it isn't real, I don't buy that for an instant. Because your witness, what happens in your life is just as valuable as what you see in the Word. Unless it's opposite of the Word, right? But what happens in your life, you're a witness. That's what these men are saying. Hey, listen, we were witnesses. Well, guess what? I was a witness in that room of the gifts in operation. And it's amazing what the power of God can do. And that's just one example. And a lot of things in your life won't be that pressing. But that's why we have to stay on it and press. And press. Even if it doesn't seem pressing, keep pressing. Because there's something God has for you that you don't know about and that I don't know about. And there's a plan the enemy has for you that you don't know about and for your kids. And so we press. We press. We keep him out. We're vigilant. I remember hearing a near-death experience story of a child that went to heaven. And he said, Dad, Mom, I'm paraphrasing, the angels had swords. And the mom and dad's, oh, God, buddy, no, that can't be true. It's heaven. And they were like, oh, yeah, the devil still shows up around heaven, Mom. Because if you look at the Word of God, I think it shows in the Word of God that the devil and the demons have to present themselves to God on a regular basis. Amen. God still has to have them show up and present themselves. And they probably have to bow their knee to him. And so he said, yeah, oh yeah, the angels carry swords in heaven. There was a battle for heaven. Don't you remember? Amen. Praise God. There's a battle for you. Amen. So what do? We step up in tongues. We take the Word of God, which is called what? The sword of the Spirit. And Jesus said in Revelation that they used the analogy of a sword coming out of his mouth for that last battle. Don't you know the Word of God is a sword? Not to cut off your brother's head or your sister's head, right? Or the weed store owner's head. No, Jesus died for the weed store owner. Amen. Let's believe God to touch that man and woman, right? Set them free. Open their eyes to the truth. Amen. But to cut off the devil's plans. For our nation, glory to God, for your family, for your home. That's why we drop into that well regularly. And we're drawing up the waters that we need. Glory to God. Isn't God awesome? And then let's look at John 17:6. We're getting there. John 17:6. I think I have about 5 more minutes, which means 7. Oh, God is so good. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. John 17, verses 6 through 8. Let's just stop right there and take about 30 seconds and pray in tongues. If you've never prayed in tongues before, do it now. Just start speaking out. Shole vi ba ko re vi ba non do do. He la shoto re vi be ki lo rondo. He la 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 non do shenda le vi bando kushe. Rabba masho tene keno, ladido shondo la vimbana. He alava mando do, do shita la la vimbando. Rabba shala vimbando konde, he lo non vembi shondo. Come on, 15 more seconds. Oh, yalava mashita la vimando kone, yarando, he la la vimbo shito ni adonava mande, ko shita la vambote. Oh, don't you know, just praying in tongues for 30 seconds can change your whole day. Glory to God. Can get angels on the scene. That's what we've been teaching a lot in this message, in this series, is we want Jesus on the scene. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. We talked about the analogy of a 911 emergency. Pray over the person, you know, but the 911 number is there to get help on the scene. People that have more skill than I do in stopping the bleeding, getting them to the hospital, right? We need Jesus on the scene. Praying in tongues gets Jesus on the scene right now. Somebody say right now. We were in that hospital room and we needed a miracle right now. Didn't even know how to ask for it. A friend of mine asked me later that week or when we came back to church, a guy at church, well, Steve, what do you think Jesus was trying to teach you in that moment? Like God is going to do something like this. See, Christians think this way. This is incorrect. He doesn't take the yin to balance the yang or whatever that means. The negative stuff to teach you something positive, that is religion. I told the brother, I said, brother, it isn't what he taught me. It's what he already taught me that came up in that moment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember my grandfather, this is the first one I'd really ever heard pray in tongues. And he sat us all in the living room. My dad and my brother, Randy, hadn't quite come. I think he was prophesying Randy into existence. If you were there, you were just a baby. Because this was, you know, grandfather, granddad, Horace lived. And Grandpa Bean was a wonderful man of God as well. But Grandpa Horace, Grandpa Live and Good, sat us down in the living room. He started saying, boys, I just want to, my dad's there. He starts praying in tongues. And he kept using the term papa. Papa, get it? And he said, you hear how I'm saying papa? It's because I'm praying to my papa. And my brother and I, it sounded silly, right? But you know what? I'll never forget that. My grandfather. Praise God. That's glorious. So if it was good enough for grandfather, it's good enough for grandson. Amen. And I see it in the Word. Some things you learn from grandparents need to be altered, right? But a lot of stuff we learn, you see it in the Word. Man, thank you, Lord, for Grandpa and what he taught me there. Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. But in this chapter of John 17, we'll close with this in just a moment here. Amen. John 17, 6 through 8. I have manifested your name, Jesus is talking, right, to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Amen. They're committed to me. What he's saying, right? Now they have known that all things that you have given me are from you, for I have given them the words, somebody say the words, which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you and that they have believed that you sent me. Amen. But the words that jumped out at me with this study, look for the words. Jesus has words for you to speak over you and over your family. Many will be in tongues. Some will be in English. Amen. But look for the words. He still gives you words. He'll put words in your heart. This word ought to be in front of us at all times. Amen. But then he'll put stuff in your heart. It's not enough just to read this book. We need to start saying what it says. Amen. Because out of your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And what you say can and will be used for or against you. Amen. In the courts of heaven too, right? So what do? We look for his words. Amen. And we say those words. I love Charles Capps. He used to say, I heard him teach, he's in heaven now. He said, you know what? I'm a man of few words, but I say them often. I love that. There's a lot of things, in other words, I should stop saying. Just because everybody else seems to be saying them. Well, that ain't true for one thing. Right. Praise the Lord. And finally, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. This is Jeremiah. He's feeling like quitting. Anybody ever felt like quitting before? Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word. Somebody say his word, right? And that could be a tongue's word or an English word, right? Was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Somebody say, I cannot hold back his words. I cannot hold back his words. If we don't hold back his words, we'll be holding back the curse off of our lives, off of our family, off of our nation. See, it's bigger than just me. Amen. I'm believing for some great stuff in my life, but it's bigger than me. It's bigger than my house and my family. It's the nation. It's the church. It's you. It's, you know, everything God wants to do. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word that you've given us today. We receive it by faith, Lord. We are fully committed. Just say, Lord, I am fully committed to you, to do what you say, to say what you say, to speak those words that you've put in my heart. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive your words. As your hands are lifted, just see them like a funnel, and he's dropping words into your spirit, words of faith, words in tongues, words in English, and you're just going to begin to meditate and chew on them and speak them. The Word of God even talks about muttering to yourself. How many, a lot of people walk around, even me included, talking to myself, and some things that the Holy Ghost will remind you of, stop saying that to yourself. Stop saying that to yourself. Say this instead. Hallelujah. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. He became poor so I could become rich. All my needs are met according to your riches and glory. I'm a success going somewhere to happen. I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Satan, I know you don't know what that meant, and I may not exactly know either, but it was something good, and something good is going to happen in my life. Hallelujah. Every sickness and disease is repelled from my life and my family and my home. In the name of Jesus, I stand for the everything. Somebody say everything. That the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased for me. And that includes the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. In Jesus' name, Lord, I allow that fire of the Holy Ghost to burn up anything out of my life. Any unbelief, any doubts, any fears, any issues, any sicknesses or diseases. Hallelujah. Any seeds of unbelief are being torched by the fire, the flames of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And I'll give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day, everybody. And thanks for coming to church again. Have a blessed day. Amen.